Hello, and welcome to this very special members-only episode of ADAPT. We are here. I'm here. Federico's here. How's it going, Federico?
Hello, I'm here. How are you?
I'm good. We are here to talk about our home screens. We did this last year for Relay FM members, and now we are going to kind of make it a tradition. So this is the second annual ADAPT members iPad home screen episode. And, you know, I hate to start out on kind of a negative note. We're going to try to stay positive throughout most of this episode, but I'm kind of wishing that this were the iPadOS 15 home screen members episode, because I'm hoping that next year we'll be able to put widgets wherever we want on our home screens. That could be a really fun episode. But you know what? We've got what we've got. Things are a little bit different than they were last year. Last year was the first year that we could pin widgets to the home screen. And now the same amount of space is dedicated to widgets, but you can actually fit more widgets there, since with the new iPadOS 14 widget design, you can put, you know, small widgets next to each other. You can stack widgets. So there's a little more flexibility. But for me personally, I guess spoiler alert, my home screen hasn't changed that much since last year. I went back and looked at, you know, the home screens that we had at the time we recorded last year, and mine hasn't changed that much. It's changed some, and we'll talk through those changes, but yours has changed quite a bit. And so how as we, you know, before we dive into the specifics of what exactly is on our home screen, how do you feel about the state of your home screen right now on your iPad?
So I feel like at the moment, things are very much in flux still. Like, and I tried to settle on some widgets and apps that I wanted to use for a while to do this episode, so that I could at least have something to talk about. But I'm still very much not sure about some of the key apps that I'm going to use. There are three maybe primary categories of apps that I'm still undecided. So as you can see, there's a different task manager. Is it different from last year? Just let me confirm. Yes, it is different. So last year was reminders, and this year in the screenshot you will see a reminders client, but it's good task. It's not the reminders app by Apple. I'm not decided that I want to use that. However, the widgets are really good, and I want to talk about those. Instead of Reader, you will find Lear, which is the new version coming out for iOS 14 and iPadOS 14 of this very, very good RSS client. And there's also GoodLinks as a read later app instead of, again, Reader. I used to have Reader as both an RSS app and a read later utility because of the read later account that you can have in Reader. But right now I am testing this sort of a split approach of having RSS in one app and my interesting links that I want to read in GoodLinks. And I am not sure about many of these apps and widgets, because right now, and I guess it's a good problem to have, we have so many different betas coming from all directions at the moment. Like, developers have been really busy, I guess because of the pandemic. Like, that's one of the few upsides. Developers have been really busy and really creative in terms of adopting the latest technologies of iOS and iPadOS 14. There are some really fascinating implementations of widgets. And on iPad, multi-column layouts and sidebars and keyboard shortcuts and multi-window and drag and drop. And there's just so much choice at the moment. And there's like, you know, the Reader developer is working on something, and there's Lear, and there's some other RSS clients that I'm testing. Like, there's one called Newsbyte, which is also really, really interesting. And GoodLinks, they're working on iPadOS 14 stuff. And of course, there's GoodTask, and I think I mentioned this before. The developers have actually been pretty open about it on Twitter. There's Todoist, and I really feel like Todoist is one of the task managers to keep an eye on this year because of the stuff they're doing with iOS 14 widgets. So I'm sort of paralyzed by this choice, but I needed to make some decisions for this episode. So this is kind of like what I put together, but I just want to state up front that it's very likely to change, because there's so much good stuff coming out in test flight at the moment I haven't had nearly as much time to play around with everything to make a final decision.
For those who are listening and want to see our home screens, which I'm sure you do, you can look in our show notes right now. So in the podcast app you're listening in, there will be a link in the show notes to view Federico's home screen image, to view my home screen image. And then also, if your podcast player supports chapter art, then you will see right now an image as the artwork for the show that shows both of our home screens. But again, you may want to click on the link so that you can get kind of a higher resolution full screen view. I have a few questions just related to, you know, home screens in general, but I think we definitely need to talk through some of the specific apps. And lots of these are, you know, they're obvious, right? So in the top left corner of your home screen, you've got App Store. I don't need to ask you, oh, Federico, why is App Store on your home screen? So maybe just starting in that top left corner, before we get into some maybe bigger picture questions about home screens, let's just run through some of the apps that maybe we think our listeners might be interested to hear a little bit about. Or in the case of your home screen, you have a number of shortcuts on your home screen as well. I don't anymore. I used to, and I'll kind of explain that in a minute. But maybe starting in the top left, do you want to run through just any apps that you think are interesting or worth pointing out?
Sure, sure. So the top row, I'm essentially replicating the same approach that I use on my iPhone. For a long time, I've dedicated the top row of my devices to media apps. So on the iPhone, I have the App Store Music, Instagram, and Castro. And on here, I have App Store Music MusicBot, which is my shortcut for Apple Music, which is actually one of the many home screen shortcuts that I'm still using. And I'll talk about those in a few minutes. Then I have, because of the extra space, I can fit more media apps. So which is why I have Music Harbor, which is the utility that I use to keep track of new and upcoming music releases. Broadcasts, which is the radio app by a friend of the show, Steve Troughton-Smith. Really, really good app to listen to the radio, and I listen to Italian radio with this. Really useful. And YouTube, of course. I considered putting Twitch in here instead of broadcasts, but as you can see, Twitch is at the bottom right corner. I've become a really, like, I think at this point I use Twitch, like I consume more content on Twitch than YouTube, just because every night for the past year since I started playing competitive Pokemon and I started following a lot of Twitch streamers who play competitive much better than I do because they have much more experience. But yeah, I do use Twitch a lot. So it's on my home screen, but it's at the bottom just because I couldn't find a place for it. Now, this home screen, I think it would be much more interesting if we were doing an iPhone episode. We talked about this with John on App Stories last week, actually a few days ago by the time this comes out. And on the iPhone, like, because you can place widgets anywhere, we had this entire conversation about how we want to create different kinds of pages. So like one page where there's a mix of apps and widgets, and another where there's like just a single category of widgets. So for example, I'm considering on the iPhone to do a task management page where I can have task manager widgets and time tracking widgets. This is not possible on the iPad. So of course I had to come up with a layout where I would have my most used apps on the first page of the home screen and my most used widgets in the top category as pinned widgets. So in terms of apps, some of the highlights, Lear, as I mentioned, instead of Reader, because I am really fascinated by what the developer of Lear is doing with iPadOS 14, multi-column and context menus, and just the general UI updates that are coming to Lear. The app is looking fantastic in iPadOS 14. The widgets, as you'll see below in the screenshot, I hope the developer doesn't mind. I hope no developer minds that we're sharing some, you know, screenshot of some of these widgets in advance. Hey, it's free publicity, I guess. Lear, really, really good visual updates in iPadOS 14. Lots of new technologies the developer is using. But mostly, I want to see if the two of the app's features, actually three, can be useful to me. Hot links, which is a way that allows you to see at a glance what are the most popular links in your subscriptions. Like, is there a thing that a bunch of websites are linking to or are talking about that will be surfaced in the hot links section? and which is a very nice way to see like a dashboard view sort of for topics instead of scanning through dozens of similar headlines. You can just take a look at the hot links section, which you can filter by like today, yesterday, or this week, like if you've been behind on your subscriptions. And with a single click, you can mark all articles that are talking about the same link as read all at once, which is a really nice way to catch up on your RSS feeds. The other feature is called Calm Feeds, and which is basically the opposite of hot links. Calm Feeds is a very cool way to catch up on blogs and like smaller publications that post infrequently. So like something like Mac Stories, for example, personal blogs, like stuff that is not high volume ends up in here, which is a really nice way to say, hey, just let me see like the blogs and the smaller publications that I care about, what have they been doing lately. And lastly, in Lear, you can browse by author. So the app analyzes the authors of the articles that are in your subscriptions and allows you to browse by author as well as pin your favorite authors to the top of the sidebar. So all these features, I feel like they are interesting enough to warrant trying Lear again for a while. In terms of apps, let's see. So UpdateBot, I guess a bunch of people are going to ask about this. This is a custom Mac Stories utility that the Mac Stories Special Projects team made specifically for us. It's an internal tool to keep track of app updates. So I'm sorry we cannot share this one. Highlights. I mentioned this before in the summer. This is the PDF viewer that I used to annotate and highlight passages of text from the iOS and iPadOS 14 developer documentation this summer. And Highlights is really good because it makes it super easy to view your highlights and annotations side by side with the document. And it uses the document browser. So I was able to store all my PDFs in DevonThink and from Highlights just navigate to the DevonThink location, open those PDF documents in place, make annotations and save. And that was it. So I'm probably going to drop this one from the home screen once iOS and iPadOS 14 are out, just because I don't annotate PDF documents on a daily basis myself. But for the summer, this has been an exceptional tool to have available on the home screen. And let's see, good links. As I mentioned, we had a review on Mac Stories a while back. Really, really good read later app that syncs with iCloud. The developer is working on a really well done iPadOS and iOS 14 update. There's a widget also for good links coming, which is a really nice way to catch up on your unread stories. And everything else I feel like I've covered before. Any buffer, which is the icon next to shortcuts in the dock, that's a clipboard manager / shelf utility. They're also working on some amazing implementation of widgets, configurable widgets in iOS 14, so that you can clip text and images and links more easily. And of course, in any buffer, you can create smart shelves based on, these are like smart folders, basically, which, you know me, I really love that kind of stuff where I can create custom views based on filters and search queries. And Good Task is in there. And as I said, I'm torn between Good Task and Todoist at the moment. But the Good Task developer is, as you can see, the top widget. I think a lot of people are gonna look at that colorful grid of buttons right up there in the widget column. That's a Good Task widget. And the Good Task developer is working on these widgets for iOS and iPadOS 14 that are fully customizable. And those are essentially custom presets for either opening specific lists. So for example, the today, overdue, and next buttons, they open specific lists in Good Task. And the other buttons with the plus before them, those create new reminders, new tasks with templates. So the idea being that if I want to create a new task related to the club, I can press on the club button and Good Task opens, and the information for some of the information for that task is already filled in. So it goes by default into the club list And there's like, I can also have like tags filled in by default. So this idea of Good Task allows you to create your own widgets for creating tasks with templates. And which is really incredible because I think it's going to save me a lot of time. And there's also widgets for, of course, the opposite is also true. You can also have widgets that show you tasks from Good Task alongside calendar events. And you can customize the widget and say, but I only want to see like tasks from this saved search or from this combination of lists. And of course, you can install multiple widgets of the same kind so that you can get really creative in terms of this widget shows me personal tasks and this other widget shows me work-related tasks. However, Todoist is also working on a similar concept of widgets that create tasks based on a template. And they've been sharing information and screenshots for this on Twitter. So you can check out Todoist on Twitter. See what I mean. But it's really incredible in that you can fully customize the Todoist widget and say, hey, when I tap on this widget, I want the app to open and fill in the syntax for creating a task so that it's got like a list already filled in, maybe a due date, maybe a comment, and even things like, I want this task to go under a specific section. Because in Todoist, you can have sections inside projects, kind of like things. And the reason I'm torn between Good Task and Todoist is because both apps are sort of implementing the same idea of these configurable widgets that serve as presets for creating tasks. There's pros and cons. Good Task is a reminders client, which means it integrates natively with iCloud and Siri. I don't need to change systems. And even though I use Good Task, I can still continue using the reminders widget on my Apple Watch, and that will still take in the same data because it's all based on the reminders database. So that's awesome. Todoist, however, they have this really particular way of structuring projects, which is really intriguing to me, to have lists, to have sections inside projects. And also they have this new amazing board view for projects in that you can turn any project into sort of like a Kanban board, like a Trello board essentially, where your sections become these vertical lists and you can use drag and drop to manage your tasks as cards. Again, it looks just like Trello, which is amazing. So yeah, right now I'm using Good Task, but Todoist is on my second page and I'm super torn between them. And as for anything else, I think I covered all the other stuff before. There's Thought, there's IE Writer, and there's a bunch of shortcuts icons. Yeah.
Okay. Some follow-up questions.
I know that this is a lot, and I apologize. If you don't stop me, I can just go on.
Well, and you only really talked about a handful of the apps, so it would be a lot worse if you kind of went in detail about every single one. But like you said, you've talked about many of these apps in the past. You've written about them. And so anyone that follows you can find your thoughts on IA Writer on Mac Stories or elsewhere. One thing up front is with Todoist, like I agree, I'm really intrigued by some of the things they're doing. We should state that the boards feature is in beta right now. So it's yes. It's not in public release, but from what I hear, it should be before long. And yeah, I'm kind of torn as well right now. I'm still using reminders, as people will see on my home screen. But Todoist has just been making a lot of good moves in the last year or so, where, you know, one of the disadvantages in the past has been that it is first and foremost a web service. And so the iOS and iPadOS app hasn't always been quite as good at adopting, you know, native system features as an app like Good Task or Reminders, obviously. But yeah, that's kind of been changing, where there's a lot of cool things that have been happening lately. So I'm really intrigued to find out where you end up in that regard, as far as which task manager you go with. But there's a lot of interesting options out there. One question, AnyBuffer. So it's a clipboard manager. This is one of those apps that I know that you use, and yet I've never tried it myself. Can you talk about like how you use it, and even... I kind of think of that and Tot as being similar in some ways, in that they can both store like bits of information for a brief period of time? Like, how is your use of those two apps different? And yeah, how important is any buffer in just your day-to-day work?
Yeah, so Tot I mostly use to store random bits of text. And it can literally be anything from like a link that I want to share like later with John, or like some ideas that I have for my Pokemon team, or I need to jot down something quickly. Like, I don't know, I'm at the supermarket and my girlfriend texts me and it's like, hey, can you also pick up this and this? And I can just jot it down real quick in Tot. So like it's literally just a scratch pad for text, which is exactly what the app was built for. AnyBuffer, I don't think I'm using it to its full extent yet, but I think it's a really cool way to. I use it for those times when I'm dealing with copying and pasting multiple things over and over. And those are usually images or snippets of code. For example, when I'm merging different scripts in Scriptable, and I need to take like a chunk of code from one script and then another from another script and then bring them together. Because of the lack of a clipboard manager in iPadOS, I can use AnyBuffer as the middleman, and I can store those clippings temporarily in AnyBuffer just to know that I can save them there. And then I can bring them back into Scriptable together. So it's a way for me, and I can do the same for images, right? If I have a screenshot that I need to take from files because I saved it there, and then another from photos, and then maybe another from messages, it's a very useful way to collect information from different places, store it there temporarily, then take it out and delete it. I think that's the way that I use it. I don't find myself, like I'm not one of those people who day in and out they are clipping all sorts of information that they find. I don't have a huge AnyBuffer database. I mostly use it as like a temporary storing location for things, and mostly I would say screenshots and bits of code.
All right, you have, it looks like, a couple of timer related shortcuts on your home screen. But you also have a timery widget, or actually a couple of timery widgets, it looks like. So what's the difference between the two home screen shortcuts for timers and then using, you know, the timery widgets?
So the difference there is that the timery widget, which is the new iOS 14 one, has a collection of my saved timers. And those are timers that I start mostly on a daily or weekly basis, like the timers that I find myself using the most. The podcasts icon, that's not a podcast client, that's a podcast shortcut that it brings up a menu of all my podcasts, and it lets me choose for the selected podcast, are you working on show notes or are you actually recording? And it's a way for me to group all of my podcasts together into a single icon, into a single menu, instead of having to create multiple widgets for each podcast and for each task. Because like it's a very easy flow. Like I tap on the icon, brings up a list of all my, how many podcasts do I have? Like 6 or 7. It brings up a list of all my podcasts. I select one, and then it says, are you working on show notes or recording? I select, for example, recording, as I did a few minutes ago. And then it says, okay, adapt timer, recording started. And that's possible because I was able to put together this menu, and in shortcuts, the option that I select from the menu becomes a parameter for the timery action. So it's a way for me to say, effectively to save space in widgets. Otherwise, I would have to create 12 additional saved timers, because that would be 6 shows, 2 different tasks for each show. So instead of having to have an additional 12 saved timers and an additional widget, I can just have a single icon, which is basically the reasoning for most of my shortcuts icons. There, I'm still using them, even though they don't use compact UI. So they don't stay on the home screen, unfortunately. They still launch the Shortcuts app in iOS 14 and iPadOS 14. But I'm using them because sometimes it's more efficient to do something in Shortcuts than to have a widget, I think. Because, I mean, even if you look at the Frames widget that I have, right? That's by far one of the shortcuts that I use the most on a daily basis. My Apple Frames shortcut, which takes screenshots for the iPhone and iPad and puts them into pretty device, physical device frames. However, that like compact shortcuts widgets, I think they feel like a waste of space because you are allotting a widget slot to a single shortcut, and it's not really space efficient, I think. So I don't think I would like it if my widget column were just a bunch of individual tiles for individual shortcuts. And I also don't think that the medium-sized widget for shortcuts is designed well in terms of information density. I believe it only shows like 4 shortcuts in the medium-sized widgets, and it could very easily show double the amount. So I thought long and hard about like how many shortcuts widgets do I want to have, or do I want to keep the shortcuts icons? And I think I will probably end up somewhere in the middle where my most used shortcuts will get a widget, but the others will still have an icon on the home screen because there's other widgets from other apps that I want to use. And I don't want to fill, especially on iPad, I don't want to fill my widget column with a bunch of shortcuts widgets.
Okay. So do you have any widgets, like shortcuts widgets stacked underneath the Frames widget, or is it just Frames? Okay.
No. Okay. Because I kind of dislike stacks.
Yeah.
I always forget about them. I know that when you swipe between home screen pages, you do see the visual indicator, you do see the page indicator next to stacks, but then it disappears. And it's like it's never there. And so I consistently find myself forgetting that I have stacks and this is true both on the iPhone and the iPad. I don't love the discoverability of stacks. I wish there was an option to always show the page indicators.
Yeah, I heard you and John talk about this on App Stories, and I agree. I'm not using any stacks right now. I do kind of feel like stacks are good for shortcuts that are meant to be launchers or meant to be, you know, things that initiate an action of some sort. I don't think they work for shortcuts that are meant to just communicate information, because with those, they're supposed to be glanceable, right? You shouldn't have to interact. You just, you know, you go to your home screen and you see, oh, okay, this is the current temperature, or this is the status of, you know, the timer that I'm running. And so with those, I don't see how that really works with stacks, because you'd have to swipe through the stack to get to that glanceable information. It's no longer glanceable if it's not visible on screen. But with things that are launchers, essentially, so like with Apple Notes, there's a variety of notes widgets, some that open folders, some that open specific notes. And with those, it kind of makes sense to me to use a stack, because you see on screen, okay, this is a notes widget. And it makes sense to me, at least. Like, I remember, oh yeah, I have several other notes widgets stacked underneath that one. I don't think I would mix widgets from different apps in the same stack, because that would get a little confusing to me, because then it's not just a matter of remembering that a stack is there. It's also remembering which apps, you know, have widgets in that stack, and that feels like too much. But for something like Notes, you know, if I only had a single note widget right there, I would probably feel like that was a waste of screen space, because it's like, okay, yeah, even if this is a note that I access all the time, like, that's just one note. And so it makes more sense for things like that to have, you know, 2, 3, 4 of the same size notes widget stacked with different launchers to immediately reopen specific notes. And so, you know, launchers, stacks make sense to me. Yeah, it'd be great if you could have some visual indicator on screen regularly that shows you, you know, that they're going to, that there are multiple widgets there. But yeah, I feel pretty similarly to you, it sounds like. You mentioned earlier, so the podcast shortcut is for timers. The two I was actually referring to are next to that, articles and timer menu. Are those kind of similar where it kicks off a shortcut that allows you to choose from multiple timers, and so it's just a way to save space on other widgets?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Exactly. Okay. It's the same approach. So just saving space with menus, just opening shortcuts and presenting me with a menu. It would be so much better if home screen shortcuts didn't launch shortcuts on iOS and iPadOS 14. It would have been incredible if you could install an icon, a custom icon. Of course, I'm using the Mac Stories shortcuts icons as always. And if you tapped on it, and you were presented with Compact UI instead, just like what happens with the widgets. But unfortunately, that's not the case. I guess because Apple doesn't want to cause any confusion in terms of, oh, it's an icon, but it doesn't open anything. It just shows you stuff. So I sort of understand the motivation there, but I still wish it was an option. Or, you know, at the very least, like in place widgets on the home screen, but that's not happening. So yeah, but those are also based on menus.
Okay.
Speaking of menus, I just want to say that now that you made me think of it, I may be redesigning these menus to take advantage of the new UI for, what's it called, rich disambiguation in shortcuts in iOS 14. They have this new UI for rich menus, and there's in fact a lot, there's a bunch of utilities coming out in the future that will allow you to create these richer menus in shortcuts. It used to be possible with like this hacks that basically allowed you to create a rich menu by faking the creation of a contact card in shortcuts, like putting these lists in VCF containers. VCF is the file format for a contact card. But now this is going to be a native feature of shortcuts. And for example, the developer of Toolbox Pro, Alex Hay, is working on a separate utility called Menu Box that will allow you to create these rich menus visually using like SF symbols and custom colors and subtitles. You can create them in Menu Box, and then with just a single action, you can import them in shortcuts. So it will become so much easier to have menus that are more colorful, that can contain subtitles and multiple data fields. It's going to be really neat to redesign some of these menus to take advantage of this system.
All right, one last question before I move on and talk about my home screen. And that is, I see right now that you have a second page. Do you have apps that stay on your second page? Or is that kind of when you're testing different things, you throw them on the second page?
Yeah, so the second page is basically folders for all my other apps, like the apps that I want to keep installed, but which I don't use on a daily basis, as well as all the betas that I have at the moment. So the second page is kind of boring. It's just folders like Apple, entertainment, utilities, all that kind of stuff, games, and then just a sea of betas from test flight.
Okay. Yeah.
That's all there is.
I have kind of a similar approach. So for those who are looking at my home screen now, you will see that it's kind of empty. It's emptier than I would like it to be.
It's very empty.
Yeah, I currently only have three rows of apps on my home screen, and I have a single screen. I'll usually get a second page if I install new apps, if I install betas, but then I quickly move them to the first page. So first of all, I think I've mentioned this in the past, but I find it strange that on the iPad, even when you have free slots on your first page, all new app installations get put on a second page. Like, you cannot install an app and have it go straight to your first page, which I don't understand. And so essentially, I keep everything off of a second page so that when I see that little dot pop up, then it's a reminder that, oh, I installed this new app, I installed this beta, and I'll just grab it from there and then either move it over into a folder or just move it onto one of the free slots on my home screen. So I'll just run through a few of the apps here. The ones that stand out maybe are Portal, and the top row is an ambient noise app, which I have found just really valuable this year, especially with staying home for very extended periods of time and not being able to be out in the outside world, not being able to enjoy nature as much as I normally might. Portal is it kind of has a threefold approach to immersing you in some other environment. So there is ambient noise. There's these great like 3D soundscapes that sound really nice, especially if you have, say, AirPods Pro with noise canceling. They just sound great. But then there's also a visual on screen that shows you the place that you're listening to. And the developers of the app actually, I don't know if it's for all of them or many of them at least, they capture the audio in real locations. And then they capture video from those real locations and put it inside the app. So as you're listening to this great soundscape of ambient noise, you can see exactly where that sound is from, which gives you, it kind of like sparks your imagination to think, you know, that you're in that place. And then additionally, the third thing is that they have a Philips Hue integration where each different portal, which includes the soundscape and the, you know, the visuals for the location, each different portal has a set of Philips Hue light settings. And so you can activate kind of an automatic switch where whenever you use a certain portal, it automatically updates the Philips Hue lights in your home to kind of match to some degree that portal and the environment that you are kind of tricking your brain into thinking that you're in. And so it's really immersive. It's really well done, and it's just been such a great app for me this year in feeling a sense of escape and feeling a sense of being in an altogether different place when I can't physically be in a different place. The next app to the right of that is When Did I, which is a little utility that I love. It's a really simple kind of list app where you have a single list of things that you want to track the last time that you did those things. So when was the last time that I went to the doctor? When's the last time that I changed my bed sheets? When's the last time I, you know, whatever. You put in the different things, and then once you've got your list of things you want to track, just tapping on one of those things will tell the app that you just did that thing. And so normally what you see inside the app is just the list of things you're tracking, and then with each one it'll tell you, you know, you last did this a week ago, or you last did this 6 months ago. Whatever the case may be, it's really handy, and I find it's one of those apps where when I first started using it, I just thought of a couple things that I wanted to keep track of, but over time, I've added a lot more to it, and you know, it's not a replacement for, say, recurring tasks where you need to do something every 2 weeks or something like that. It's more things that you want to keep track of, but they don't necessarily happen on an exact schedule. And so, you know, rather than having to remember, oh, when's the last time I did that thing, you just keep it all in one app, which I find is a really nice kind of mental offloading. I've got a few folders on the right side of the screen. I really don't use them much. There's an arcade folder for various arcade titles. Past is mostly like a junk folder. Some of them are apps that I've used in the past, and that's kind of where the name comes from. And I want to keep track of those apps' updates, whether for writing about them on Mac Stories or just because, you know, if a certain app that I used to use adds some cool new features, then I may start using it again. And so everything that I've used in the past goes in there. And there are some apps in there that I use on a regular basis as well, but I usually launch them via search. I don't use them often enough that I actually want them on my home screen. And then future, the bottom folder, it's kind of apps that I'm testing. Usually it's just a bunch of betas or apps that maybe they're not in beta, but I'm considering using them more regularly. And most of the time it's apps that I've thrown in there and I mean to try at some point, but I don't know that I get around to it very often. And so I'll regularly kind of check, okay, what's in that future folder, just to kind of refresh my memory. But mostly all my folders get neglected because I just don't really use folders on my iPad much. Other apps that stand out, BookTrack is the leftmost app on my second row. This is an app I've written about on Mac Stories for keeping track of a library of books. The app keeps getting better. They've added like reading progress tracking, and I love the tagging system, so I can keep track of where my various books live. So I don't really read paper books, hardly ever, if I can help it. I buy and read digital books, but because digital books have a bunch of different platforms, there's Kindle, there's Apple Books, I have some PDFs and other things, so I use a tagging system to keep track of where my different books live, but then they're all in this one app. There's some nice things coming with iOS and iPadOS 14 this fall, so BookTrack is an app that I've just continued to use more and more over the last several months. Let's see, what else? There's an app in the bottom left called Hebrew Q. I'm in grad school right now, and one of my classes is learning Hebrew, and so that's just like a flashcard app to help me learn different Hebrew words. What else? Twitterific I have on...
Twitterific and Twitter at the same time.
Yeah, so I have two Twitter clients. I use the first-party Twitter client as my main Twitter app. Twitterific is on screen because I use it for the Adapt account. And one of the reasons I use Twitterific for that is that I don't like switching between accounts inside of the Twitter app. I've gotten myself in situations before where, let's say, if I have notifications turned on for multiple accounts, I get a notification, and then I don't actually know which account that, let's say, someone is replying to something, and I get notified about it. I don't know which account they are replying to. And so, I open it, and sure, you can kind of look at the small icon of your profile picture to figure out, oh, which account is this? I just find it's a lot easier and simpler to know that my personal account is always in the first-party Twitter app, and then the Adapt account is in Twitterific. But I use Twitterific because it supports multi-window, and so I can have two Twitterific windows side by side, which is what I do right now. Whenever I open Twitterific, there's two Twitterific windows in split view. One of them is just keeping a list of all of the Adapt account's recent tweets. And I do that partly to kind of see, okay, what is the format that I usually tweet when new episodes come out? How do I format that exactly? What does it look like? When was the last time I tweeted? And then the other side is for mentions or ask Adapt questions. I'll track those on the right. So the fact that it supports multi-window is the main reason I use Twitterific. I don't know that there's any other kind of outstanding strange apps here. Any questions you have about my home screen?
Yes. So Giphy. Why does Giphy need to be on the first page of your home screen?
First of all, I'm not hurting for space, as you can see. And so It's not like, there's some other great app that could take its spot. I just like to send, for your sake, I will use the hard G, GIF. I like to send GIFs.
Oh, you say GIFs.
I do. But I like to send GIFs, and having Giphy on my home screen reminds me to do it more often. And it also just makes it easier when I'm sending them like through Slack, for example. I mean, Slack has its own Giphy integration, but as far as I know, in the iPad app, you can just kind of send random GIFs through the app, or like you can type a keyword and then it will send a random one related to that keyword. I want a little more control over my GIFs, and so I want to browse myself and see, what the options are, and then tap on a GIF and then paste it where I want it. So that is why that's on my home screen.
No RSS, but you still have Morning Reader.
That's correct. I don't use RSS.
Is this ever going to change?
I don't know. I've toyed around with RSS a lot in the past, and one thing that I've been thinking about lately is, you mentioned with Lear kind of the feature that lets you just pin certain authors and follow certain authors. Does that work even if there's not a dedicated feed for that author from the website?
Yes, because it just extracts the author metadata from the article.
That's really nice. One thing I've been thinking about lately is there are a variety of authors from websites that publish a lot, where I'd like to follow those authors. And there's no way to do that in Morning Reader, obviously. Morning Reader just shows like 10 tech headlines, 5 that are really recent, and five that are like top stories, things that are trending. The thing that I use that's kind of the closest to RSS is Apple News. And there's no way in Apple News to just follow specific authors. You can add RSS feeds, but I think those RSS feeds have to directly support Apple News. So it's really not a good solution for following specific authors. So that's, you know, I may get into that at some point, but I've just never felt a need for RSS, especially since I really like Apple News and I use it every day. So that's not there. I guess I can talk about my widgets a little bit. I love the photos widget. It's nice as just in terms of, you know, having glanceable information. It's really nice to just every time I go back to my home screen, see some nice featured image. I love that. I keep the batteries widget on there, partly, I guess primarily so that I can know the battery level of my AirPods. It's nice to see the iPad's charge level there, but I can see that in the top right corner. It'll show my Apple Pencil when that's connected. But it's primarily for AirPods or like if I connect a game controller. I like that you can see, you know, four different devices' battery level inside this little compact widget. I keep Apple's calendar widget there just in case there's a specific event coming up that I need to remember. I have a timery widget, which shows the current running timer. And then I use Apple's weather widget at the moment. So those are kind of the ones that fit on my home screen. I do have a couple others installed below the weather widget. One is the widget for the TV app, which I may or may not keep installed. I've really enjoyed the TV app in the past because, particularly in times where I would watch things that released on a weekly schedule, because it's nice to be able to see my Up Next queue update with the latest episodes that, you know, were just published and just made available today. And so it's nice because, you know, on any given day, you might see, oh, look, the new episode of Lovecraft Country is out now, which is pretty neat. But lots of shows this year, or maybe it's just my TV trends changing, but lots of shows don't release on weekly schedules anymore. Or, you know, they follow the Netflix model of just dropping a bunch at once. Or, like, if I'm, you know, watching a show that already has a catalog of seasons, now that kind of TV is starting to slow down a little bit, and I think that'll be even more true going into next year when the shows that were in production earlier this year, but then they had to stop production because of the pandemic, things will be a little scarce. And so, I don't know. Maybe it's probably primarily my TV habits changing, and lots of things that I watch don't have weekly releases anymore. But I kind of hope that that changes. I like that Apple TV Plus releases episodes weekly. I like that HBO Max is doing that now. I think it's just a nice way to, you know, have an episode and talk about it with your friends and kind of experience the conversation rather than like, okay, the conversation all happens in a weekend when everyone's binging the whole season and then we kind of move past it. And it's also just fun seeing on the TV widget, oh, look, there's a new episode of this, whatever the show is. So I had the TV widget down there, and then I also have a different timery widget, which is for starting timers. So my gripe with my home screen currently is that I do have all this extra space that I don't have any other apps that I want to put there. There are plenty of widgets that I would love to put there. As you mentioned, there are lots of great third-party widgets that are coming, and I'm trying a bunch of them. I also considered putting home screen shortcuts there. One of my problems is that there are a variety of notes and files or folders in the Files app that I reopen regularly, but I kind of have those all set up where I've got a specific note that's paired in a space in split view with a specific file from the Files app. And there are three or four cases where that's true, where I've got this specific note next to this specific file, and I don't want that to change. But the way that launching a note or a file via a home screen shortcut works, or a widget shortcut as well. It's the same exact behavior, is that it will open that note or that file in the last opened notes or files window. And so the problem with this is I have specific spaces that are saved that have these two items that I want next to each other. And if I use one of those last, but then I use a home screen shortcut to open a different note, it will essentially mess up the space that I had created. And now I've got a different note paired with, you know, the file that I had, and I've got to fix that constantly. And so I found that using home screen shortcuts for those things at least isn't great for me right now, because I don't want my different spaces messed up. And so usually what I'll do is I'll just, you know, open notes and go to show all windows to see the various spaces that I have and choose them from there. So it would be nice if shortcuts could kind of recognize, oh, look, you know, he already has this note open in this specific window. Let's just open that, you know, that space, that window. But it doesn't work that way. So I've just kind of been thinking, okay, what are some other shortcuts that I could use? Earlier this summer, I had a few that I was using because the shortcuts beta was just not great inside of the iPadOS 14 beta, where different share sheet shortcuts weren't running properly. That seems to have gotten a lot better recently. And so, for example, if I'm uploading an image from Photos to our CDN for Mac Stories, I would usually do that directly from the Photos app via the share sheet. And for a while, the upload shortcut wasn't working from the share sheet, and so I would have it on my home screen to run it from there. But I don't need that anymore, fortunately, because those bugs have been worked out. So there's a lot of potential for the home screen. There's a lot of space if I could put widgets wherever I wanted, but since I can't, it's I've got some empty space, and I don't really like that, but that's kind of where things stand at the moment.
Okay, yeah. I mean, this makes sense. I think this is mostly in line with what I know about you from your home screen, from the apps that you use. So definitely an interesting widget setup. I want to see where this stands in a couple months, honestly. I think we should revisit later in the fall as a regular episode of Adapt and see where we land in terms of apps and widgets. I struggle to believe that you will have two empty rows by the end of the year. But I'd be happy to be proven wrong. Those are super empty at the bottom, and I really can't imagine you leaving them empty for a long time.
I hope that I don't have two empty rows at the end of the year. One difference from last year is that I didn't used to have a folder in my dock, and now I do. If I didn't have that folder in the dock, then all those apps would fill out the rest of the home screen. And so, you know, things would work out there. But yeah, I use the folder so that I can more easily kind of use those apps in multitasking. And I don't know. Maybe there's going to be a bunch of great apps that make me want to add them to the home screen. Maybe, I mean, I don't expect this to be true, but maybe iPadOS 14.1 or 0.2 will enable adding home screen widgets wherever
it's
we want.
It's not happening. I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think it's happening.
Agreed. Yeah. It's just kind of like, okay, this is how things stand at the moment, and it's not great, but I don't know what to do about it. So hopefully next year there's going to be a lot more flexibility with where we can put widgets. I actually played around the other day with, you know how there's still a setting where you can kind of revert to the old iPad home screen view where it's just the really big app icons. Yeah. And I flicked out on the other day, and I actually kind of liked it because I don't have that many apps there. And so it filled up, you know, the space. I didn't really have empty rows anymore. And I was like, oh, this is kind of nice. But the biggest drawback is that you can't pin widgets to the home screen when you do that. And so I didn't stick with it, but I wouldn't mind just having larger app icons right now and, you know, keeping the home screen widgets pinned to the left if I could, just to fill up the space, because it kind of drives me a little crazy that there's all that blank space down there. But oh well, maybe it'll change in the future. Right. We'll see.
All right.
Well, I really want to thank all of you who are listening right now for supporting Relay FM or supporting Adapt directly. We so appreciate your support. It enables us to do what we do. And so thank you. Hope you're enjoying all the different members episodes that are going on, you know, throughout August, throughout September now. And if you by chance aren't a Relay FM member, but you're hearing this anyways, you can change that. So you could go to relay.fm/adapt and you'll see options to support us directly, or go to relay.fm/membership and find a variety of other options for how to support maybe all the Relay FM shows if you'd like to do that. Until next time, Federico, say goodbye.
Arrivederci.
Bye.